And it's reminding me to press my time, but that's good as well. So one another. Okay, look up to one anothering. And the Bible mentions this word a lot in the New Testament, the words one another. And we say it's two words, one another. In the Greek, which is what the New Testament was originally written in, the word is actually alelon. Just a little bit of Greek there for you. That is probably not quite how you pronounce it. But it basically means one another, doing life together or loving one another, all that kind of stuff. And it's mentioned 100 times in the New Testament. It's a big theme of the Bible, the fact that we don't do life by ourselves, we do it all together. So we're going to look at that this morning, and we're going to look at how we can get involved in a small group, do life with one another, and start really growing this autumn. Life is better together. Who agrees? Yeah, it is. Life is better together. When we got good news, we love to share it with people, don't we? When we go places and it's wonderful, it's much not better if you share it with someone. Amy Winehouse is one of my favorite artists. I really love her music. And I said to my wife, I would love to see her. And I think there's some urgency in seeing her because I don't think her career will last very long. I could just tell that her career was going to blow up or she was going to blow her life up, which unfortunately, very sadly, she did, of course. But I said to him, I really want to go. And so my wife, as a surprise for me, bought me a ticket to go and see Amy Winehouse. She managed to get a last-minute thing on eBay. And so I went to Amy Winehouse at the Brighton Centre and saw her. She was excellent. I thought she was brilliant. But I went by myself, which is a little bit sad. I was like, that's cool. I'll go by myself. I'm there for the music. But she was like, it's just not quite as much fun as going with someone else. And I've been to the cinema by myself. Has anyone been to the cinema by himself? That's quite sad as well. Like, you're like, people look at you kind of like, yeah, I don't need to be here with anyone else. I'm just sitting in the dark watching a film. But it just feels a bit odd, doesn't it? It's like, but I wanted to see the new Star Wars. My wife didn't want to go. Anyway, so sometimes you do it by yourself, and that's okay. Has anyone even eaten in a restaurant by himself? Yeah, it's like, you want to get out straight away. I'm just eating by myself. I'm not being stood up. I'm here by myself. But it's different. But it's much nicer to share those experiences together. Something exciting, watching a film, having food together. Life is better shared together. And that's why things like social media is so popular. Everyone likes a good like. It's like, I want to share what's going on in my life. Would you like to know what's going on in my life at the moment? Yeah. For those who don't know, me and my wonderful wife are having another baby. Which is exciting for any family, but in case you don't know us, then you don't judge me for this, that'll be our sixth. Anyway, that's why my wife's not here this morning. She's still just getting over the shock of it. Actually, she's serving our kids well this morning. So, but life is better shared together. I've been bursting. I've known this news for like 8 weeks, and I was like, we're not telling anyone. I was like, okay. But I'd love to share it just because I'm like, okay, this is my news. I want to share it. Life is better shared. Okay. We're not made to be alone, actually. Even some of us are. Some of us are extroverts, love being with people all the time. Those of you who have known my wife, she is off the scale like that. And there's other people in our church who, they're introverts. They don't love being with people. But no matter where you are on that spectrum, you can't do life totally by yourself. Even the most introverted people need other people in their life. Okay, others become a hermit. They do life together. And actually, loneliness and isolation is a massive issue in our society. Households have changed dramatically in the last 100 years. So 100 years ago, you'd get very few households where someone just lived by themselves. Very few, really. But today, loads and loads and loads and loads of households are just one person. Just live on their own. And that's a lot to do with the fact that we've got an aging population. So often there's, you know, just an elderly person now lives by himself. But even our kind of younger generation, in our kind of 20s and early 30s, often people are doing life by themselves, and obviously right across the age spectrum as well. And so isolation and loneliness is a big, big issue in our society. And there's an event called New Day that we're involved in during the summer with our young people. There's 7,000 young people get together. We have a big, we all camp together, and we have big kind of church meetings all together. Have lots of fun and laughter and stuff. And part of that week is we encouraging young people to get involved in kind of projects that help the local community. And so year by year, they go out and do various things like washing cars or painting people's fences or running kind of children's clubs during the summer holidays, that kind of thing, just for a week. But this year, we joined an initiative in Norfolk called Who Cares? And this initiative is like about 100 churches in Norfolk have got together and done a one-question survey. And they want to ask everyone in Norfolk the question, what hurts the most? And they're asking this question because they want to say to people in Norfolk, we care about what is hurting in your life. We want to know. And at the moment, they're in the listening phase. They want to get into a phase where they're able to really help and support people. But they're just listening. It's like, hey, what hurts the most? And it's been, obviously, it's been quite, you know, heart-wrenching to hear some of the responses that have come back from that. And they've had over 18,500 something responses so far. They really want to hear from everyone in Norfolk. They're really going for that. So our young people helped them with that this summer when we were up at the festival. And I was speaking to the guy who leads this thing, a guy called Rob Turvitt, and he's heading up this massive project across Norfolk with all these churches. And I was speaking to him about it. He said to me, guys, the saddest thing, Stephen, was that we started by just introducing it to the churches, by asking them the question. We asked people in churches, what is it that hurts the most? And it was really eye-opening to us as church leaders to see that loads and loads of people said, being lonely. No one loves me or no one really knows what's going on in my life. That was what came back time and time again. Had so many people feeling that, just a sense of isolation and loneliness. So even though turning up in a crowd, you know you can be in a crowd of people but still feel lonely, can't you? You can even speak to people on a Sunday morning like this and touch base with people, but you can still feel lonely, like no one really knows you. Just scratching the surface. There's other things going on that you're not really sharing because you're not actually sharing life. I'm sure that's not just a problem in Norfolk. I'm sure there's people here who feel like that. You think, oh, I come here, but I'm just hoping that this gets better, that I don't feel as lonely. Do you know, loneliness is dangerous. I was reading something this week that said being in loneliness and being isolated is bad for your health. It's bad for your mental health. So it may have interaction with other people, but it's actually bad for your physical health as well. And so those who are really suffering from loneliness, it can be as detrimental to their physical health as being addicted to alcohol. Just that sense of loneliness, our bodies are meant to interact with other people. It's a real issue. Now, I have to say, here at the Race Course, I'm very proud of the sense of community we have here. And when new people come here, they say, oh, it's just amazing how much everyone loves each other and gets on and people are friendly, got a real sense of community. You know what? That is true and that's good and I've prayed for it and I love that's the case. And I love seeing the way people interact and they're in each other's lives. I know that's not everyone's experience, but I know that's a lot of people's experience and that's brilliant. And there's bits of our site that we're weaker, that we're working on. But I don't want to neglect the fact that we're good at something, but often the things that we're good at are the things that we should excel in. And so I'm not happy with being good at community and good at friendships. I want to be excellent. I want more and more people in our site and outside of our site, outside our community, to experience more of what it is to know friendship and to know love and community and to experience God through that. That's what I want. So that's why we're making some changes this coming term, which I'll describe a bit later. Okay, so having relationships, being friendly with people, in one sense, it is the most natural thing. It's the most natural thing in the world, isn't it? Because I think, oh, just doing life with people. We've all met people, or had conversations with people, we've all had friends at some point in our life. In one sense, it seems like the most natural thing. In Genesis 2, right at the beginning of the Bible, God creates everything. Okay, so he says, let there be light, light comes, separates the light from darkness. Then he makes the seas and the land separate. Then he puts fish in the seas, birds in the air. He makes plant life, he makes the animals. He looks and goes, oh, wow, this is good. What I have made is really good, it's good. And then he makes a man. I said, well, it's good, but actually, it's not good for this man to be alone. And so then he creates Eve to be with Adam. He said, the way I'm creating you is that you need to be together. It's not good for you to be alone. You need to have one another. And often we apply this to marriage and say, oh, it's good for a man and a woman to come together and get married. But that's just a general principle for all mankind. We're not to just do life by ourselves. We're to let other people in to what's going on in our lives and we get to get involved in other people's lives. And even as married couples, sometimes as a married couple, you can come together and suddenly you can separate yourselves off. You know what? Married couples, you need to be in other people's lives. Other people need to be into your marriage as well. Not to separate ourselves off. It's the most natural thing. It's how God created us to be. It's the most natural thing. But It's the hardest thing. So I've been back at work 3 weeks now. And for the first 2 weeks in my office where I work at the church, very few people have been around. So work has been really easy. Suddenly I've got to have meetings with people who can disagree with me. And because I'm hard to work with as well. So it's quite nice. So I only have to work with myself, and that's very easy. No, so basically it can be the hardest thing. As soon as we start doing life with people, we start bumping up against people, don't we? We suddenly realize, oh, we're a bit selfish, or they're a bit selfish. Or I'm a bit proud, or they're a bit proud. Or, you know, they're not meeting my expectations, or I'm not meeting their expectations. And suddenly, when you start putting ourselves in relationship with people, it can be quite difficult and quite hard. And Genesis chapter 2, they come together, Adam and Eve together. That's really good. They've come together, garden's going well, and then they mess it up. Eve goes and eats the fruit that she's been told not to eat. And Adam's there right next to her, and he eats it as well. And they mess it up, and they mess up their relationship with God, which is the most tragic thing, that our relationship with God should be messed up in that way. But it also messes up all of creation as well, including relationships between people. Suddenly Adam and Eve aren't getting on very well, and suddenly people aren't able to get on very well. It's totally messed up. And so our relationships with one another are imperfect. Thankfully, you've come to our church where the relationships between people in this church are perfect. We never have any arguments or disagreements. We just see eye to eye all the time. Never a raised word or a cross voice. No, we're just as imperfect. There is sin in this church because we're sinners. And so we don't get on. Marriages aren't perfect. Friendships aren't perfect. Serving teams aren't perfect. It's difficult. It's the hardest thing, doing life with other people. Do you know what? I find driving difficult. Not because I can't drive. In fact, I'm an excellent / perfect driver. It's everyone else that's the problem. I often say to my wife, if only everyone drove as I did, we wouldn't have any problems, would we? Yeah. And the reality is, as soon as we bump up against other people, we get ourselves into problems. So, I'm going to unpack those two things a bit more. So it's the most natural thing. Relationship, living, doing life together, being in a small group. I want to say it should be the most natural thing. It's how we were made. The Bible says that we were made in the image of God. What's God like? Well, God is good at relationship. And he's always been good at relationship. He didn't wait for Adam and Eve to come before he got good at relationship. No, he's always been good at it. Because although God is one God, he is three persons. Now, I'm not going to try to unpack the whole Trinity thing, partly because it confuses me still. There's two truths. God is one God, but he is three persons. And you're never really going to have to wrap your head around that. God is outside our ability to understand him. But it's very clear that God the Father, God the Son, the God the Holy Spirit have always existed. And have always existed in perfect relationship. That's who God is. God is a God of community and relationship. So when he created people and there was just one man, he's like, well, that's not good. You need to have more of your own together. Me as God, there's three of us, but you need to be more than just one. So man and woman need together. And you need to live in relationship with one another. That's how we've been made. We've been made to live in relationship with one another. Okay, it's part of what we're made for. So Jesus, in the New Testament, when people were asking questions, they said, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, well, it's easy. The first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. Or a list equivalent to that. And he says, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. So he says, you are made to worship God. I don't know, maybe this morning you're still working that out. What was it I'm made for? What am I meant to be doing on earth? I can tell you. You are made to worship God, to live your life in such a way that God receives love and glory and worship. And how do we do that? Well, a large part of it is the second thing, to love your neighbor as yourself. If you tell me you love God, but you don't love other people, well, that doesn't work. That's a contradiction. You can't love God without loving other people. And as you read through the New Testament, they say there's a special thing about actually loving believers as well. God loves his church. He loves those who he's made part of his family. So you can't love God and then not love other people. My good friends, Jono and Karis, got married. Woohoo! That was a very polite clap. And my good friends, Becky and Annie, got married. Okay, they got another clap. And if you spoke to Andy and Jono and say, Andy, I really like you. John, I really like you. You guys are just great guys. Your wife, she's a bit iffy. I can pretty much guarantee your friendship with them would take a tight turn for the worst, or you might get a black eye. There's no way that they're going to be like, oh, what? You can't love me as a person without loving my wife, because she's part of me. It's part of who I am. Same with God. You can't say, yeah, I love God, but not so much his church type of thing. No, no, when you love God, you have to love his church. Now, I'm telling you again, the church is imperfect. It's going to let you down. But God wants you to love it and be patient and love it too, okay? So it's part of what we were made for. And so God makes us as part of a family. That's what the church is. God describes himself as Father. Right back in the Old Testament, he's the father of this family. The great thing about being the father is you also get brothers and sisters. So my new child, when it arrives in March, as much as it is me and Emma, this is our baby, we're really excited. You ask my kids are like, yeah, that's my kid. They're like, it's mine. Because they have a sense of ownership. This is our family. When someone new joins it, it's part of us. It's not mum and dad's baby. No, it's our baby. That's how they talk. So we're part of a family. And God talks about having a nation. Where he takes a nation for himself. He takes the nation of Israel. And he's king and he's lord of it. And when he gets subjects, he's like, come and have your identity in me. It's not like, oh, just me, just God and you. No, it's about being part of a nation, about being on mission with God, being part of his kingdom and advancing that. And last thing, yeah, is church. His church is described in lots of different ways, being a building, being a body, being a family. Just that sense of, hey, we're doing life together. Okay. And we're told to be a blessing to others. When the Bible tells you to be a blessing to others, we often read, I need to be a blessing to someone else. No, no, it talks about a community being a blessing to other people. And so it's really important. Community is really at the heart of the Bible and who God is. Okay, being in community gives glory to God. So Matthew 5:16, let me read it to you. It says this. Okay, for verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. When we do community well, when we listen to what God has said about relating well to one another, when we do that well, it is a demonstration of who God is. So when people come in here and they say, oh yeah, that guy speaking, he was all right. The worship was great. But what I realize, well, I love how people interact and love each other. So that gives glory to God. Because people are looking at God's children saying, wow, there's something special there. And that gives glory to God. When my kids play well together, or they spend time with the babysitter, and they say, oh, they've been really kind and generous and nice to each other. You know what? It gives me pleasure and it honors me. When we get on well as a church, when we do life together well, it gives glory to God. And other people see it, and as a result, they'll praise God in heaven. Many people have been saved as a result of just spending time with God's people. They didn't have any sense of wanting to get to know God, or understand more about him, but they spent time with God's people and realized there was something different, something in their community that was different, that spoke of something more. And as a result, began to ask questions and began to find Jesus in the midst of it. It gives glory to God when we do community well. It makes us more like Jesus. When we do life together with one another, it makes us more like Jesus. I really like the verse I put up here, Psalm 27:17. It talks about iron sharpening iron. This picture of kind of two bits of metal coming together, and as they scrape along each other, the sparks fly off and bits of metal fall off. They go from being blunt to being sharp, becoming more like what they're meant to be. God has purposes and plans for your life and people that he wants to make you into being. And if you just try and work it out by yourself all the time, yeah, you'll grow. But when you start doing life together and letting other people speak into your life and start annoying others and let them pointing out your annoyances or your failings, actually you can respond better and be sharpened and shaped into the person that God wants you to be. So that's why we're saying small groups this autumn, start growing. Because when you get in a small group, it just puts you in a place where you can build relationships, where you can choose to be vulnerable about a bit about who you are and do life together. And actually, it starts to grow and shape you. But it's a hard thing too, isn't it? Being in a relationship with others is a hard thing. And you know what? Small groups can be hard. Who's ever been in a hard small group? Who's ever led a hard small group? Yeah. Okay. It's hard to be in a small group. So I know some of you have never been in a small group thinking, well, this sounds like fun. I like being with people. This sounds like worth it. Some of us have been around the block a little while. And you've been to small groups. You might have been to a lot of small groups. And you're thinking, I'm on a bit of a break at the moment, and I have no intention of getting back in right now. Because small group, you know what, that takes time, that takes energy, and what if it's not very good? Well, you know what, the Bible doesn't give you an opt-out. It doesn't say, oh, you can do one anothering unless it's a bit takes up too much of your time, then you don't have to. Or you can do one anothering, oh, unless it takes up too much of your energy, then don't do it. Or you can tell me too much, you can do one anothering unless, oh, you've done it all before, you've seen it before. No. God says you are to one another. There's 100 verses that speak about one anothering. Let me read them to you. All 100. Are you ready? No, I'm going to read you 30, well, maybe 30. Okay, here we are. Be at peace with one another. Okay, I want you to listen. I want you to listen. Think, which one of these is for me? Which one can I put into practice this week? Listen to this. Be at peace with one another. Don't grumble among one another. Be of the same mind with one another. Accept one another. Wait for one another before beginning communion. Don't bite each other. Don't boastfully challenge or envy one another. Gently, patiently tolerate one another. Be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving to one another. Bear with and forgive one another. Seek good for one another, and don't repay evil for evil. Don't complain against one another. Confess your sins to one another. Love one another. Through love, serve one another. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Be devoted to one another in love. Give preference to one another in honor. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Wash one another's feet. Clothe yourself in humility towards one another. Do not judge one another, and don't put a stumbling block in a brother's way. Bear one another's burdens. Speak truth to one another. Don't lie to one another. Comfort one another concerning the resurrection. Encourage and build up one another. Pray for one another, and be hospitable to one another. It's a whole list of things. If you're not in small group, if you only come on a Sunday, all you get to do is worship with one another or drink tea with one another. You need more than that. And I want to encourage you to work out, how do I do small group with others? Now, I'm going to talk a bit in a minute about the fact that we're trying to make small groups more creative and flexible. That's basically what changes. So a lot of us, small group won't change very much because we'll carry on going to the same small group with the same leaders doing life. That's great. I mean, encourage you, keep doing that. See if you can push it on a little bit. Help others get involved. For some of us, we thought, oh, well, I can't make a small group because it's not been at the right time. It's not the right kind of thing for me. So we've thrown it open a bit and say, hey, we're going to make it more creative and flexible because we want more people to be able to do the one anothering, to be able to be in community with each other. So try and make it less hard in that sense. But if you think, I've been there, done that, I'm all right, thanks. I want to challenge you and say, if you are a Christian, God is calling you to do life with your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're a church member here, when you signed to be a church member, you said, I'll be part of a small group. Now, I know that it's not, there are some exceptions. I know that. But there really must be exceptions. And if there's an exception, I'd love you to clear it with me. Say, Stephen, do you think this is an exception? Or someone else in the church, say, look, I'm thinking this. Is this me being a bit lame? Or is it a real exception? Or maybe for you, it's none of these small groups work for me. Maybe I should start one. So we printed a catalogue of the small groups that we've got so far. If you come to me in the next 2 weeks and say, hey, I want to start a small group, we'll see if we can slot it in. Because I want as many of you as possible to be in small groups and leading small groups. Because one anothering and being community is so important to who we are, our identity in Christ. So it's a hard thing. A great thing that God has given us his word. He's given us 100 one anothers to look at. He's given us his spirit. Because it's not always easy, is it, doing all those things? If we just kind of try and get them sorted, try and do them well, actually we're going to fail and get them wrong time and time again and might feel a bit downhearted. Well, you are. But the great thing is that God gives us the power to do the things he asks us to do. So he gives us his Holy Spirit. So I told you a few minutes ago that Eve and Adam, right at the beginning of the world, they took some fruit and they ate it. As a result, relationship was broken between them and God because they disobeyed him. And everything, all our other relationships were broken. Actually, even creation was broken at that point. That's the spiritual fallout from what they did. When Jesus comes again, he changes that. He changes it and he makes us new creations and his Holy Spirit comes to live in us. And I really love the verse in Galatians 5 where it talks about a different type of fruit. Not the fruit that caused the curse on the earth and our relationships, but it talks about fruit. And we have the Holy Spirit come and live inside you like a plant. It makes you like a strong plant that bears really good fruit. And it talks about the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And so instead of trying to work really hard for those things, as you begin to walk with God and ask the Holy Spirit to help you in his life, actually, it helps you move on in loving others and doing all those one anotherings that I was talking about. It's hard to love each other, but God has also given us a great example. What's his example? He's given us Jesus. Jesus, like I said earlier, he was part of the Trinity. He knows how to do relationship for all eternity, and he's a good teacher, and he wants to teach us. He also did life with others. So if you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see that Jesus grabs the most unlikely bunch of guys ever and makes them his friends. And he does life with them for 3 years, just living and eating and walking along the road with them, chatting to them, listening to them say the most stupid things and do the most stupid things. But he loves them and he forgives them and he prays for them and he does the one anothering. He does a great example. And each person he meets, you see, just seeing the interactions, the way Jesus deals with people, is a great example to us. And ultimately, he laid down his life for us. Living in relationship with people is costly. It does cost us. Often when we are vulnerable with people or let people in, they let us down. And that hurts. It really does. I don't want to pretend like it doesn't. No, we don't pretend, oh, we're in Christian community, we're in church. That's all right, we'll just forget about it. No. We have to acknowledge that people have hurt us and we have to go through the forgiveness thing. The reason we can do that, though, is because Jesus has forgiven you everything you've done against him. Because all your sin, everything you've done wrong, said, and thought, ultimately, is an offense against him. Because you've not obeyed and loved him like you should. And you know what he did for you? He didn't cut you off. He didn't turn his back. No, he came from heaven to earth, and he gave his life for you. So Jesus has given me forgiveness and love. And with his Holy Spirit, I can give other people forgiveness and love. He's perfectly one anothered me, so I can work on the one anothering of other people. That's the great thing about Jesus, what he's done for us. And God has given us each other. So that's a hard thing. How are we going to get better at this? It's not going to be about reading more books about this, although that might help. It's not about writing essays on this. This is not an academic, educational subject. This is full-on coursework apprenticeship. The way you learn to one another is by one anothering. It's about getting in other people's lives and letting other people into your life. So if you've been around our community for a while, but you're not yet in a small group, let me encourage you, get involved. Find a way to make better connections. That's what my plea is to you this morning. Do you know, because God has more for you than you've received from him so far. And he's going to do that through the lives of other people. But do you know what? You're also a key part of helping other people experience more of God. You are a part of the puzzle. And if we haven't got you right in, then we're missing out. I don't want to miss out. I want to know you. I want to know what you've got to offer, what God's given you to give to our community. So get involved. Start iron sharpening iron again. Okay, so we want more people to be accessing a small group this term. So we're changing how it works. So we've got next 4 weeks, we haven't got small group. This week, we've got prayer. Week after, we've got parenting seminar. Week after that, we're doing some small group training and some of us will go for a walk maybe. And the week after that, we're going to meet together and pray. But the week after that, we are starting small groups. We're going to start them for just 10 weeks. So we've asked how much leaders say, would you lead a small group? And they said yes. And we haven't done the usual, can you sign up for a small group and lead it from now until Jesus comes again? No. We've said, you've got to lead it for 10 weeks. And actually, we're even going to give you a break halfway through. So 5 weeks, have a break for a week, and then do another 5 weeks. That's all you've got to do. And if at the end of it, you love it, sign up again. If at the end of the week, you hate it, don't have to. That's okay. Go and find another small group to be a part of, or maybe you could change the one you're leading. We're saying 10 weeks. And we're asking you to do the same thing. Just to find a group on our catalogue and say, hey, that group sounds like a great group. Or, hey, that's a group I'm going to anyway. I'm just going to go back to it. That's great. But you're saying, hey, there's a group here that I like, and I'm just going to sign up for 10 weeks, and I'm going to give myself to it. And again, you're not going to do it from now to eternity. You just go for 10 weeks. Get to know some new people. Maybe do an activity if it's one of those ones. But just get in some friendship. Discuss faith. We're going through a new series called Consider. I know a lot of our groups will be looking at kind of some of the questions that come out of that. But get involved just for those 10 weeks. We want to make it as accessible to you as possible. And so some of them are Saturdays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and you get involved. And if you don't, none of them work for you, come back to me and say, actually, I'd like to do a different one. So they're more flexible and they're more creative. We say, guys, go for it. And so my wife loves Christmas. And so she is going to run a Christmas small group, which when we had our initial meeting about this, I laughed and said, no one will ever go to that. And everyone shot me down. And some people already signed up for it. So what can you do? So we'll see how it goes. And so we're going to be creative and flexible. So if you want to go to Christmas small group, please do. I won't be there. Not until gone on November 30th, because, you know, that's not when Christmas starts. Anyway, so you can sign up for that, and they're going to have great fun, do lots of activities, that kind of stuff. There's different things for different people. You can get involved, okay? And it's just 10 weeks, we've talked about that. There's less interruptions. So during our church calendar, there's lots of other kind of meetings we have. We'll be basically trying to take as many of them out of that 10-week block as possible. So we've got, we're having a break. The reason we're having a break for 1 week is because that week is a movement, our big men's event. And it's also our vision night where all the church, all four sites are coming together. We thought, well, we're going to have a small group that week as well. We want to focus upon that. So we're going to have a little break that week. And most other things are going to happen during September or it's going to wait to January. So I'm going to fill your diary up lots of things. No, I can make a commitment and really go to this small group for these 10 weeks. And we want to look after our leaders. We don't want our, yeah. If you've ever led a small group, why don't you stand to your feet? You can give these a massive round of applause. Massive round of applause. Woo! Thank you very much. You can sit down. Because leading you lot is hard work, to be honest with you. And it can be relentless. And so we want to look after them better. So we've changed the structure, how we're going to do that a bit. And we'll make it for 10 weeks as well. And so they can take a break and come back to another term. Or change it up, whatever they want to do. It's really just want to look after those who are looking after you as well. Let me tell you, this isn't going to happen perfectly. You guys are the guinea pigs. I know some of the other site leaders, I've talked to them. They want to do this as well. So they're like, good luck with that. Tell us how it goes. We're going to do something. We're going to pay the stupid tax. You heard that? So if someone does it before you, they get to pay the stupid tax. They're going to learn what doesn't work. So other people don't have to do that. Okay, so we're going to learn what doesn't work. Okay, so some of it is going to be great and brilliant. Some of his experience is going to be like, this is a real duffer. Who thought about doing a Christmas small group? Yeah. We're going to learn what doesn't work. And you know what? That's okay. We're just going to look at it and think, okay, great. So we'd love your feedback. We'd love your questions. Because you know what? I can't see from every angle. You may notice that the small group brochure has a mistake in it. I have had this proofread by 10 people. First thing someone says when I get here this morning, there's a mistake. I was like, are you kidding me? So you'll notice that the men's redemption group is led by Liz White and Carol Sparks. Good luck, men. And the women's group is led by Lee Rogers and Robin Asquith. They're more scared than you are. So if you sign up one of those groups, the leaders are obviously the wrong way around in those groups. Don't panic. The other thing about these groups is that we've capped the numbers in them. So there's a group you like, you need to sign up quickly. Because once those spaces are gone, it's first comes first served, you can't be in that group, okay? So do it, and you can do that today. You can grab your Connect card. Could you just pass me a Connect card? I thought I bought one with me. You can grab one of these cards, okay? And you just need to write your name. If you are already on the city and you know what that means, you just need to put your name. If you don't know what it means, put all your contact details, okay? Grab one of these, and then you can write the code next to the small group. So, for instance, if you did want to go to the men's redemption group, you'd put W3, okay? Or if you wanted to go to the Saturday morning breakfast one, you'd put S1. It has a little code. Just put that clearly on the card somewhere, and we'll be in contact with you. And we're going to do this every Sunday during September, and you can take a catalogue away with you and do it online during the week. Now, it's not up online yet, but it will be by the end of tomorrow, won't it, Bill? Yeah. That's the way to get things done, people. It'll be up online by the end of tomorrow. So you can, again, look at that and fill on an online form if you work that way better. Or you're not ready to make a decision today, that's fine. But sign up. Or you can go to our sign-up table over where Liz Rogers is jiggling her baby. Thanks, Liz. Someone will be there, probably not Liz. And they'll help you sign up or give you some more information about it. I'm sure you'll have some questions, and that's fine. But let me encourage you, get hold of one of these, get hold of the catalogue, talk to a mate, what one are you going to? Maybe we could go together, that kind of thing. And get involved, because we want to do community, and we want to do it really, really well. I'm really excited about this. I think it's going to teach us a lot about it. I'm hoping that the number of people in small group really goes through the roof as a result of this. Okay. You can sign up to more than one if you want to. My advice is don't do that, okay? Especially if it's more than one evening one, because really we much prefer you commit to one and make that work for a term than take on two, okay? So our preference is one. If I see your name down for two, I will talk to you, but my preference is one. The exception on the list is Mum's Prayer, which happens during term time, not during the 10 weeks. So I know a lot of our mums who might attend Mum's Prayer, and they might go to an evening one as well. I see that, that's fine. But for a lot of us, I would say if you're going to go to a small group, just make that commitment for that 10 weeks. If two of them look amazing, just wait till next term and do it that time. Okay? That's what I'm going to say to you. Okay, I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to pick up the kids for a little bit. What's the time, someone?
6 minutes.
We've got 6 minutes. So I'm going to pray. You've got 6 minutes, and you can just chat about it. And have a look at your catalogue and go and hand it in if you want. And then I'll tell you in a few minutes to go and get your kids, okay? But you've got 6 minutes just to do what you want. So if you're a parent here, you might want to look at the catalogue now. That's fine. You can just have a chat and a coffee. But the rest of us, let's fill in our catalogue. Let me pray for us first. Dear Lord God, I want to thank you that, Lord, you saved us into your family. And that we have you as a great father and you're perfect, Lord. But Lord, we thank you. You've also given us brothers and sisters to do life with, Lord. I just want to pray, would you help us with this new initiative with these small groups, Lord? Help us to engage with it. Help us to get signed up to the right groups. And I pray each one might flourish and do really well. I pray for those who've got ideas about other groups, Lord God, you just give them a prod and give them confidence and boldness, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, have a look and I'll be back in a minute to tell you when to get your kids. Cheers.